I am Rose Clausen, the mayor of the Village of Longview, and I will be the chair of the public hearing today. On behalf of council, I would like to welcome you here today. All of council is present for the public hearing. I would like to take a moment to introduce the other councilors in attendance today. We have Deputy Mayor McIntosh and Councilor John Wagner. The public hearing secretary shall be Roy Tuchek from the Village of Longview. Planning advice will be provided by Jane Doffney of Municipal Planning Services, MPS, who have been assisting the village with this bylaw amendment. All people wishing to be heard at this public hearing will have the opportunity to do so. All persons shall be provided the opportunity to be heard in the order that their request to administration was received. Public hearing for proposed bylaw 491-26 being the bylaw to amend the existing Village of Longview land use bylaw 400-17 as amended is now open at 6:46. The purpose of this public hearing is to hear testimony relating to the bylaw 491-26. Everyone present will be given an opportunity to be heard. Only one person may speak at a time. This is the time for presentation of testimony to council, not debate. Please speak clearly and start by stating your name for the record. Comments must be specifically related to the matter being considered. The ground rules of the public hearing and the order of speaking will be: the secretary will speak first to introduce the bylaw, the planner will speak to outline facts and present the recommendations on the proposed bylaw. The secretary will read any written submissions received. Members of the public who have signed up to speak will be given the opportunity to speak in the order they signed up. Anyone else who has not yet signed up will be given the opportunity to speak. Councilors will be given the opportunity to ask questions of the speaker or the planner. Council will then end the public hearing and retire to consider the information received at the public hearing. Council will only consider matters related to the proposed bylaw raised at the public hearing. Only councilors may ask questions of speakers during the public hearing. If any person wishes to ask questions of a speaker, they must ask council to ask the question on their behalf during their presentation. And council will only ask the questions if it feels it wishes to have an answer to undertake its consideration. The secretary will now introduce the bylaw.
Thank you. Proposed bylaw 491-26 is a bylaw to amend the existing land use bylaw for the Village of Longview. The public hearing was advertised according to the requirements of the Municipal Government Act.
Does council have any questions they wish to ask the secretary? Before hearing from the audience, I would ask Municipal Planning Services to present a report on the proposed bylaw.
Thank you, good evening. So the bylaw presented this evening for the public hearing is a bylaw, it's a text amendment change to your land use bylaw to include campgrounds as a discretionary use in the CBR district, which is a central business restricted district. Did I get that right? Do I call it commercial?
Central business restricted.
Thank you. So we put this together so that you would have a better idea of what sites exactly within the village would be affected by the amendment. Right now, there's only one property within the village that's within this zone or this district, and it's this guy right here. That's it. So this is being proposed by the developer who wishes to change the use of the property, which currently was operated as a campground, and then not operated as a campground, and they want to re-operate it as a campground. But when use is discontinued on a site for over 6 months, and with campgrounds you have a little bit more leniency because they're seasonal, but it's, you know, greater than a 6-month period, then you have to issue a new development permit in order to do that use again, even if it's in the same location and there aren't substantial changes being made to the development. So it's a development permits are required for buildings, so construction, and they're required when the use of the property changes from one thing to another thing. And that can go from being not used to being used, if it was in a way that was previously used. So when we're looking at that, we have to make sure that what's being proposed is consistent with what is currently allowed in the land use bylaw. And in this case, a portion of the campground is located in a district that allows campgrounds as a discretionary use. The easiest way to see it is the last page of that planning report. I hope you pick that up. In the urban reserve district, which is all of this portion of the property, campgrounds are a discretionary use. So if the entire campground had been located here, then this would not have been necessary at all for the landowner in order to be able to do this. But a portion of the campground is also located here. And in this district, campgrounds are not identified as a permitted or discretionary use. So in order for them to apply for a development permit and for the development authority to be able to approve the permit, that use has to be listed in the district as permitted or discretionary. And that's how this came to be and why we're here this evening, is that in order for a development permit to be approved in this location, so here and here, this use has to be included in both of those districts. And the proposed amendment would facilitate that change to your land use bylaw to enable the developers to proceed with an application to develop and use the land for those purposes and for the development authority to consider approving that development permit. So that's the site, that's the proposed change that this land use bylaw amendment would facilitate. There's a little bit more information in here just about the notification that took place for members of the community. For a land use bylaw amendment, we're required to notify agencies. So the land use bylaw amendment was sent to Forestry and Parks, Alberta Environment, Alberta Transportation and Economic Corridors, Alberta Arts, Culture and Status Women, Canada Post, Fortis, TELUS, ATCO, Gas and Pipelines, Foothills, and Resources and ConocoPhillips. And we did receive some feedback from a couple of the agencies that we referred to. Urban Transportation and Economic Corridors indicated that a roadside development permit would be required with the development permit application. And at that time, they determined that a traffic impact assessment will be required. We're not anticipating a traffic impact assessment to be required for this because the intensity of the use of the proposed is a 9-stall campground, so it's really low intensity. So it won't generate a significant increase in traffic to what you're already experiencing in the village. Foothills County also provided comments. They indicated that they would like the village to be cognizant of the agricultural lands to the east of the future development. And they request that the village implement appropriate mitigation measures to address noise and traffic and lighting those things. So the development doesn't come, this is the boundary of the village. Foothills County is on this side right now. The development that's been proposed won't come right up to the boundary, but it's close. It's close enough that the county felt that it was appropriate to provide those comments. We also circulated to adjacent landowners. If you are, you might wonder why you were included in that. If you're an adjacent landowner, we circulated to everybody who was adjacent to the entire boundary of the parcel. So this, for a text change like this, it isn't a legislative requirement to do that, but you are a very engaged community. So we wanted to make sure that everybody who was adjacent to the entire parcel received mail notice of the proposed amendment, in addition to the regular standard notification requirements that the village undertakes. So posting notice of the amendment on your board in front and also on the website. So as a result of that notification, we did receive one phone call to the office, our office, and it was comments from someone who received the notice. They wanted to provide the comments anonymously. They indicated they objected to the proposed amendment and that they were concerned that the campground in this location could disrupt the surrounding businesses. So as a result of that notification process, we only received the one comment and feedback at that time. In regards to public notification and advertising, the notice for this hearing was posted on the village's website and the village bulletin board and on the community hall sign on June 4th, and that's what was necessary in order to be consistent with what's in the village's public communications policy and the requirements under the Municipal Government Act. So in our opinion, the notification requirements under the legislation and the bylaw have been satisfied, or the policy has been satisfied. When we're looking at a proposed amendment and providing a recommendation to council regarding this sort of thing, We look at the underlying statutory plans to see whether or not what's being proposed is consistent with the policy direction of the statutory plans. And we provide a report at first reading that provided a summary of that. This area is identified for future commercial use, and so the proposed use that's been identified in the amendment is consistent with the direction of the municipal development plan. Additionally, we look at whether or not there may be any financial implications to the village as a result of what's been proposed that could cost the village money, so that we can address those as part of this process for council's consideration. In this case, what we're talking about is an amendment that at this time would only affect the one site right here. The proposed use of that site is an unserviced non-stall campground. So there aren't anticipated impacts to the water, wastewater, stormwater system the villages operates as a result of what's being proposed that could result in additional costs for the village. If anything, repurposing the site for a commercial purpose could impact the assessed value of the property and could potentially generate additional assessment. Now, when the improvements on the site are as limited as they are for this, it probably won't have that much of an impact on the assessed value of the property, so it's probably quite marginal whether or not there's a positive, but there shouldn't be a negative or draw on the village's resources as a result of the proposed change to the bylaw. We also looked at, because of something that came up during the first reading of the bylaw, whether or not there was any indication that there could be a negative impact on the existing campground which the village operates. And we looked at that development in relation to what is provided, what product is provided there, and what's being provided by this campground. The existing campground is a 19-stall service campground. It's a beautiful campground with lovely amenities, sewer and water. As I understand, there are shower stalls even at that campground. So it's a lovely campground that also has tent stalls for people as well. This campground is not serviced. So it doesn't provide that same product that is available at the existing village campground, and it is a 9-stall campground. So if what we were looking at is an amendment to the bylaw that was to support a much larger campground that provided similar product, I think there may be potential that there was an impact on the village's operating campground, but this one, because of the low intensity of the development, we don't see any evidence that there would be a significant impact on the existing village campground. So there isn't a risk associated operationally or financially with the proposed amendment that could impact the village's existing amenities that you are responsible for providing. So that concludes, I guess, the assessment that we did of the proposed amendment. Our recommendation, I guess, to council following the proceedings for the public hearing would be the council give consideration to second and third readings of the bylaw. You'll know in our report there's some options available for council for consideration, and we can look that at that time. If there are any questions for council regarding the information provided, I'm happy to take them.
Are there any written materials that have been submitted?
Yes, there is one that was received. I will read it to council. So, attention CAO, myself. I have no objection to the proposed campground and the change to the land use bylaw to allow for this. I do not feel that I am an adjacent landowner, as I am three properties away from the proposed campground. I think any new business is an asset to our community, especially one that will bring tourists to our village that will support other businesses, i.e. restaurants and stores. Thank you. And this was submitted by Winnie Hayden for Hayden's Machine Shop LTD. Thank you.
Are there any? I will now call upon people signed up to speak.
Can I get them?
Did anyone sign up to speak when you came in? Is there a sheet at the front? Yeah. Thank you, sure. like, if you don't want to speak, just let the chair know as we go through.
Dave Marshall, please. Could you please state your name for the record?
Hi, my name is Dave Marshall. I'm Jason Brown's owner. I have no objection to the rezoning of the property. I have no objection to the use as a campsite, but I have a couple of questions. I have a little confused as to why Alberta Health wasn't included in the distribution, as Alberta Health has jurisdiction over campgrounds in Alberta.
I will ask that question, please. Normally they are, so I'll double check to make sure that we didn't just miss one of the bullets, and then I'll provide a response for, yeah, that's a good point. It is a good point. I'm not sure why that isn't identified in the bullet. It should have been.
Another thing I'm a little confused about is the amendment, if the amendment is approved and the site is developed as proposed non-stall unserviced campground. If you look at the Longview land use bylaw, there is no contemplation of unserviced campgrounds. Campgrounds are required to be serviced with water, bottled water, and with the sand. Also, yes, believe me, I would read it. Also, Alberta Health requires that every campground in Alberta have potable water on site, and strongly suggests sanding them for obvious reasons. So I really, you know, I support the campground. I think it's great use. It's a good idea. But the other thing I noticed is that the work that's been done in advance of permit and this little drawing that's appended also doesn't meet the same criteria of campground within the Longview Land Use Bylaw. There's a minimum of 10% of the width of the property setback for any camping areas. And each camping area, I think, is a 2750 square foot minimum. So the drawing is not, that's been submitted, doesn't meet the upper side of the change. And I'm sure I have no objection to the campground on the site, I certainly would have an objection if the development permit was issued that didn't meet the Village of Longview requirements for campsite.
Only if you'd like me to respond. Yeah. So, Village of Longview's land use bylaw has two use classes. One of them is an RV campground, and one of them is a campground. And the provisions that you have cited relate to RV campgrounds. The use that's being added to the district is campground, and there are no regulations in the Village of Longview's land use bylaw relating to campground development.
So you're saying that RVs would not be allowed to pull into that campground?
I'm not saying that.
And that's an RV campground. I mean, I don't see the distinction. And Alberta Health doesn't see it. And they say campground. It doesn't matter if it's RV campground or campground. You're required to have plenty of water. And they recommend sanding them for obvious reasons. So I don't think there's a campground. I mean, the way that this thing is laid out, we have these very long pull-ins that don't look like campgrounds for tents. They look like a campground for RVs. In other words, if you're going to have a campground that's going to have RVs, it's going to meet the land use bylaw.
This is through the chair. I'll make sure that we summarize all of your feedback for the summary of the public hearing. Most of the feedback provided relates to the development permit application, which isn't what's subject to the hearing this evening. What we're talking about this evening is the proposed bylaw to add campgrounds to this district. And as I understand it, from your comments, you indicated you have no objections to the proposed bylaw. Is that correct?
I don't, except that it was presented very clearly here as the amendment is being done for an unserviced campground. So I don't have a problem with the rezoning to a campground. I have a problem with the way that it has been presented to the community as an unserviced campground. There is no unserviced campground within the Longview bylaw. There's nothing defined as that. And certainly what you're showing here is, as what you are showing here, the proponents are showing, is RV camping. Now, I don't think that there's any possibility that you're going to have a campground survive without having RVs pulled into it. 100% of the camping, or 95% of the camping that's going to go on here, is going to be RVs pulling into a campground. And if you're going to have a campground, those rules are there for a very good reason. You want a sandy dump on site, otherwise you have stuff dropping willy-nilly through the country, or, you know, some suggested on this rezone in the back, the proponent used the village's sandy dump. Well, that is putting a strain on the village infrastructure. That sandy dump is not working properly already. But it should be on site. If you're going to do a development, do the development properly, and certainly. I don't understand how you can get around Alberta. Alberta Health is an option.
Thank you. Next one is Joe Bishop. Joe, if you could please state your full name.
My name is Joe Bishop, a resident of Longview.
Could you say address too? That's good.
That's good, yeah. Please, thank you.
Yeah. I do not really have a problem with the concept of what's being proposed. I do have a problem with the access. I think that I live across the street from the entrance of what's proposed, and I've been living at my address for, I think, 10 years now. And what I'm really concerned with is the traffic. It's a dangerous situation with it. It's a lot of congestion, and when there are people coming, if they're coming from the north, they have to cross this double yellow line that I also have issues with. But what I'm concerned with is people coming in and out there and not having enough room to do what they need to do, and the commercial traffic that we have, and the commercial traffic that runs 24 hours a day right in front of this proposed campsite. I don't know. I mean, it's not my business, and I was expecting to have commercial strip mall in there. I would have rather agreed to that. But and I'm concerned about, does the village still own the property that's in front of the proposed campsite, the strip, the boulevard strip, and would there be costs incurred by the village to, or is that going to be all developers' costs if they have to widen or put some extra signage if it becomes a dangerous intersection situation? And I'm also concerned about the proximity to the hotel. Like, do we have concerts here and things like this? And I'm concerned that after hours, people have already made plans to all camp at the campsite. And so then they're going to have a big party, and then it's up for the rest of the night partying. I think that's not very good for the people that live around here. And also that we're going to be lost for what I'm trying to say about it, that I don't think, even though there's bylaws in place, well, noise bylaws, I think that they, for us to be having a phone Turner Valley to send them down there to police some people that are going to be out of control, is putting extra strain on the RCMP when maybe we could avoid it in the first place. And just have the concerns, like, those are my concerns. Protect Longview, make it Good, but I understand the need for some more commercial ventures, and the people that own the property, I understand they gotta make it pay somehow. So that's all I got to say about it. Thank you.
Thank you. I will now call Tom Kirk, please.
I was just gonna speak, but I needed to address the situation.
Okay.
It's time to go.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who has not spoken and wishes to speak? Okay, please come to the mic. State your name, please.
Kathy Selby, I have two questions. If it's unserviced, how do you control generator noise at night? I know we have bylaws, but like Joe just then said, you know, people calling all hours of night to enforcement to quell noise, for example, if it's unserviced versus serviced at the Village of Mountain campground. And then there was, that site was used when the Village's campground was being remediated, reclaimed and remediated. And so that's the only time in my memory that that's been used as a campground. I'm not sure what other time that it was used as a campground, because that's the other thing. And then in the 2024 budget, in June, there was the revenues for the Village campground in 2023, which was around $38,000, and 2024 was about $14,000, and then the budget for 2025 was about $15,200-something. And that did not include wages. So it did include source reductions and stuff for the campground itself, but not the wages. So when you strip back the wages for 2025, what were the net campground revenues for the Village campground? And also, that being said, if it's not very much that was left over at the end of the year, how do you rectify allowing another competing campground? Even though I know it's claimed it's not, you're still gonna have people that may not use the Village campground because that's there. This Village campground, from my understanding, was not used to capacity to begin with. So those are the questions I have.
Thank you. Is there anyone else at this time? Does council have any questions for clarification? Oh, my apologies.
Can I ask council, have they been down to Hogue Park? Hogue Park does not have potable water. They do not have a sanitary belt. And that's a big park. So you might want to ask a commercial that question.
Thank you.
Discuss these, Tom, but we need to put it on record. I'm just going to read my questions that I sent to Jean. I have several concerns as follows. Preparations are continued on the property since the stop work order occurred. There are a few other development permit requests in progress in the village, and those applicants have not started on their projects. What message does that send about following the proper process? There's a brand new whole fence around the property, which appears to partially be on the urban reserve part of the property. I believe our land use bylaw for urban reserve does not allow campgrounds regular discretionary use. Therefore, there would need to be an amendment for that piece as well. We net income on our campground currently and depend on those funds to assist with running the village. Having a competing campground will affect our village negatively. We do not have other avenues to make up the revenue difference. We have a limited budget and have infrastructure for water waste and water, and repairs, maintenance of all village assets that needs funds. We
have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in the campground over the years and are currently going through the process to do work on the washroom and the sanitary dome. I heard a comment of it only being overflowing camp, overflow camping. How exactly can that be policed or regulated? Will the funds be given to you, the village? Not like, will the camping be free? I cannot see that, as there will be expenses for the business. As much as I would like to see development, the proposed use of the property may be detrimental to our revenue stream from the campground, which in turn will affect all of our residents. This may mean raising the property taxes next year to cover the shortfall. With costs so high at the moment for fuel, groceries, interest rates, etc., every one of our residents are affected, so adding more tax burden is not in the best interest of our village.
The two that are pertinent, I think, to the bylaw, maybe just related to the bylaw amendment, so the ones that are specifically to the bylaw. So campgrounds are in discretionary use in the urban reserve district. Can you like tell that right now? Sorry, after, but
can you use a mic, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. And I'm speaking quietly and to the table and not to you. I'm sorry. I was just clarifying that campgrounds are listed as a discretionary use in the urban reserve district in your existing land use bylaw. You don't know me, so you don't want to check yourselves. It's on the village's website. It's there. And then the other thing just related to fences. Roy, did you get a card in our office?
No, I didn't.
No, okay. Well, if you give me just a second, I'll just confirm whether or not fences in the commercial district will require a development permit. Just for clarification, because there are some types of development within the village that don't trigger a development permit. So there's some things that can happen that are development on property that happen with a development authority approval can happen with a development authority approval. It might take me a second to double check that, but I will check that and confirm for you whether or not fencing itself on that class of property would require a permit. We did notice, just relating to the fencing too, that the existing fence does encroach on the south, just a little bit into the lane. It's not very much. That often happens with fences. It's between neighbors as well. Wasn't something that was terribly concerning to us. Depending on the outcome of the council's decision pertaining to the bylaw this evening, when we're preparing a report for the development authority's consideration related to the development permit, that's something that we would point out, and the village can, you know, require that the developer enter into an encroachment agreement for that or not. But it's not something that you would require to be relocated because the encroachment is so minor. And then the rest of the development is set from the highway and the road based on the survey drawing that was prepared. So there were no other considerations related to fencing that were on the side that would be concerning because they could impact traffic and the traffic flow. So they're reasonable considerations and when they were taken into consideration in evaluating the ones being proposed.
Thank you.
Does council have any other questions? Okay, is there any person that feels that they would still like to have an opportunity to be heard?
I'd say a couple of things maybe. One is about, you said we're going to be hooked up to outhouses or some sort of porta potties.
Give it the mic, please.
Sorry, I thought that was loud enough. Did you say we would be hooked up to some sort of sewage system or serviced by a porta potty outfit? Because it's not even restricted to RVs.
The
health department?
No. No, it was not. From the information provided by the developer, our understanding is that it's intended to be entirely in service. So if RVs are there, then they would use the facilities within their RVs.
Right.
And then
the campers.
Like the There's no tanking sites associated
with
this.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's
so,
just, it really is 9 RV stalls.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
no tanking.
Okay, I was confused about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, the only other thing was that basically that it was pretty much completed. The layout, it looks like it's at least 50% completed before this process is done. Right, so it's my only other concern. But I appreciate that there was a dialogue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, I can't recall your name, but you just said now that there are 9 RV stalls.
But they look like they're being proposed for RVs, yes.
So it is an RV campground.
I did not say that. I said it's a campground.
A campground?
Campgrounds can have RV stalls.
Okay, it's a campground strictly with RV stalls.
Correct.
But it's not necessarily an RV campground.
Correct.
Okay.
Is there maybe ask if there's any other?
Is there any others that would like to speak?
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Tom Kirk. I'm one of the 3 partners on this proposed development project. This might clear a little air. I sent an email to our council members and Roy last night, and this will also help out if there's any questions. I'll ask a couple questions at the end as well. I don't know if this was forwarded to you or not, but maybe it was. Myself and my partners are in the process of completing a group book only campground. This is an individual booking site that is being, seems to be implied. It's a group only book. I believe it is an option to customers that cannot book into the village campground if it is full, as the village is a first come, first served only campground. Customers that want to camp together or hold a private function, such as weddings or family campouts, we will be able to accommodate their needs and not be in direct competition with the village for this service, because that is not currently being offered, as I know. You can't do group bookings. Twin Cities Campground will be able to accommodate overflow group customers that do not have access to the village, as stated, when the village campground is full. The village can facilitate group bookings for Twin Cities Group Campground, thus offering a service that the village does not provide, and obtain new campers or tourists to the area that may not have come to visit Longview otherwise. Twin Cities Campground does not offer any hookups or septic service, just like Hog Park, and I believe Blue Rock as well, local campgrounds in the area. Twin Cities Campground does not offer any hookups or septic service and would refer to its customers to the village for the sandy dump services. This would generate revenue for the village that it would not otherwise have. The tourist dollars that the campers will spend in the village can only be viewed as beneficial by resulting in direct increased revenue to the commercial businesses that are an integral part of taxpayers of Longview. With new highway improvements and Google Maps that bypass Longview, the village of Longview desperately needs commercial developments that draw tourists to the area. Before my partners and myself started work on the private land, we were in full open correspondence with the village before proceeding was initially given the green light to proceed, as precedence was previously set for the village as campground use and did not see any foreseeable problems. Our company has spent tens of thousands of dollars to clean up the property by debris removal, garbage clearing, removing of dead trees, pruning of live trees, adding wood mulch under the trees along the road, adding sunflowers to garden beds, dandelion weed control combined with grass seeding, installation of the 3-rail fence that you see on the perimeter, and fixing of the wagon wheel fence that hasn't been done in over 25 years. Along the perimeter of the property. All these improvements were done with consideration in appearance and direct continued updated open communication with the surrounding neighbors and the Twin Cities Hotel. We've had an open book policy since day one and have answered any questions by villagers or bystanders. Everyone has told us they love what we are doing and think it's good for the village. All the work mentioned has improved the property value, increased in tax assessment, albeit minor, that will result in a commercial tax revenue to Longview that was basically non-existent before this project was started. Also mentioned the vastly improved image and the aesthetic view that represents Longview should be highlighted. Having new commercial businesses paying taxes in Longview can only benefit the village and or decrease offset taxes to the residential tax base. Unfortunately, this development has been I sent a statement out and then I retracted it because after I sent this email, I had one of our councilors reach out to me and a member of the Taxpayers Association. So I retracted that statement and this was my reply to the email. Good morning, Roy and honorable council members. I hope this day finds you well. I was contacted by the Ratepayers Association and Councilor McIntosh after sending this email last night to you, and I've realized that my note number 10 statement previously needs to be officially corrected. I formally apologize for my error and hold myself accountable for this false report. I'd like to correct that statement. I have been notified by Councilor McIntosh that she, although she's not a part of the Ratepayers Association, that she does attend the ratepayers meetings. My partners and I noticed different ratepayer members filming us on a private property without our consent while they're doing project work. False claims to the village that our intention was to obtain utility water rights by assumption that an excavator was being used on site was forwarded to the village shortly after the aforementioned filming. It has been stated by Councilor McIntosh that a stop work order was presented to us and had questioned why we were still working on the development, as she read earlier, when the stop work order was in place. This is an absolute false statement. We were never provided a stop work order for the campground project. It has also been noted that maybe the belief, as stated, that it is a negative impact to the village. We understand that everyone is entitled to their opinion. That sort of concludes what I forwarded. It was brought up about the fencing and development rules. Can you elaborate on that, on the height? Or this is the whole property that I'm upgrading and fixing. A lot of this fencing does not apply to this development project.
Yeah, give
me
just a sec to pull
sure.
that from the land use bylaw. Okay, so where we look to try, no problem. If development is being proposed, where do you go to check in the land use bylaw to see whether or not you need a development permit? Is the section of the land use bylaw that specifically says development not required a permit? And if what you want to do is something that is not identified in this section, then a development permit is required. So this section does not mention fences, which in my opinion means that it don't put it to part of the fence.
Was it replacing an existing?
Yeah, even if it's replacing an existing. Yeah, I think that there has been historic practice not to, but that is not consistent with what the requirements are in the land use bylaw today. So if you're doing any more fencing, call us. Okay?
Fair.
Yeah.
Does council have any more questions?
Roy, can you expound on the stop work order?
Sure.
Just clarify what that was about.
Yes, so, and Jane can pop in at any time, but
So the process is simply a verbal discussion or stop order or notification, just depending on, I guess, the situation. Then move to a remedy, and if there is work continuing, then a written stop work order. So in this situation, there was a discussion on May 25th with Jane, myself, and the proponent. It was notice was given about the situation, proceeded into a remedy, and a stop work order written was not provided, as we did not see that there was significant development taking place while the remedy was going on. Jane, I wouldn't mind if you would make sure I'm accurate on that, or correct, whatever, please.
That's a pretty good overview of the how municipalities deal with non-compliant properties. So, village receives a complaint about a non-compliant property. First step that's taken, it is a verbal warning. Is to reach out to the landowner and identify the non-compliance, and then discuss what the remedy is and the timeline for compliance. And then, if the developer or the landowner, sometimes they're different, doesn't agree to take the steps required in the remedy, then you provide a written warning, and then a timeline for compliance, and then if they don't take care of the remedy within that time frame, you issue a stop order. In this case, the developer was very amenable to working with the village to resolve the issue, and so after the verbal warning and the remedy that was identified, which was you need a land use bylaw amendment and you need to apply for a development permit, they took steps immediately to deal with the remedy, and so there wasn't a requirement for the village to take further steps to deal with the compliance matter because it's being resolved. So that's good. It doesn't always work out that way.
Okay, so we will once again ask council, have any other questions? Does anyone else have any questions and want to be heard?
Can I ask? Can I ask about, because it seems to be turning into maybe it's a catering event location as well. And I want to know about liquor licenses being issued to that address. Like there's going to be weddings, or is there going to be live music venue there as well?
The way I understand it is just for camping. Sometimes right. There's people that are up on top of the hill that have weddings up there, but they have right. Nowhere to stay.
You mentioned that maybe he was planning on using for his venues himself, so for weddings and such, so I'm just concerned about that.
They can't. Even if this bylaw is approved by council, it would only allow for campgrounds. A special event venue is a different type of use. And in order for that to proceed, you would need a much more substantial amendment to your land use bylaw with special provisions for dealing with that. And that would come back to the community in order for you to consider. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, Kathy.
Kathy again. This is to Tom. I think, Tom, you mentioned that before the May 25th, now that we know the date, that you had that discussion with Roy and the planner, that you've been given the go-ahead. Is that correct? Like you were given the go-ahead prior to them saying, hey, you got to stop?
Insinuated, I guess.
Okay.
Verbally.
Okay.
Previous use that this was,
You were in compliance, basically, right? To go ahead is what your understanding was.
We were. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And can I also address what you're asking about?
Yeah, like clear that up.
For the weddings and that, it's not that we're booking weddings or parties. It's that if there's a wedding group, up in the area, we're actually in place to stay.
Right. Okay.
The
It's not that we're catering to weddings.
No, I just thought this may be.
Or anything like that. And the option is also for a group to try and get together, 8-9 people, at the town village campsite. Try, you don't want to camp with your family if you go to the reunion. You want
no,
to,
no, I get
you don't want to be forced all
it's
over
an
and
asset,
have 30 people
actually.
In between. That's what we're offering that the village cannot offer at this stage.
Good enough for me.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that feels that they want to have an opportunity to speak? Okay.
I didn't want to, it was your, wanted you to be able to speak first. I just, there were a couple comments about potable water, and you were able to find the answers to that, and then there was a question about whether or not Alberta Health was notified, and we were able to find the answer to that too. Online planner submitted this for us. So from the provincial the information, if the campground provides water for human consumption, the water must be potable, so simply drink. This requirement comes from the Nuisance and General Sanitation Regulation under Alberta, the Public Health Act. So if you are providing water, it must be potable. If campground chooses to not provide drinking water, it can operate without potable water service, providing that guests are informed and that other health requirements are met. There's many rustic and unserviced campgrounds that require campers to bring their own water. So there's no requirement to operate with potable water. There's many, can't remember if they have a special classification for them, but you can have a rustic campground that does not provide potable water. And then in regards to whether or not Alberta Health was notified, they were notified, but they just didn't provide a response. So I apologize in our report if that's not clear. Alberta Health was notified in this situation.
Thank you, Jim.
Brad, can you confirm for us whether or not any of the people in attendance virtually wanted to speak?
Yeah, this is Brad McDonald with Municipal Planning Services, just running the open line portion of the meeting. I do have two folks in the meeting. I've not heard from any of the attendees online if they would like to speak. If they do, I can provide an opportunity for folks to unmute, but at this time I've not had any indication that they would like to.
Okay, well, I'm going to proceed then. There being no further testimony, I will close the public hearing at 7:38. It is now in order for council to discuss matters and for a council member to make a motion to either take action on the matter, schedule the matter for a later council deliberation, or postpone the matter for additional staff work.
Just a clarification, if I may, Jim. So we would come out of recess to do that in the special meeting, correct? Okay, so we would adjourn out of this current public hearing and then do just what you said in this special meeting after coming back from recess.
I'm sorry.
No, sorry. Just clarity.
We're returning from
recess.
So
to the special meeting.
To then go back into the special meeting. Read that again?
I think it's understood. Is it clear
it's
enough?
It's understood, or do I need to read anything?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So that was it.
7:38.
Yeah.
I think we got it there.